With the Lord's help, we want to consider this evening the words that you will find in the 24th chapter of the book of Numbers and verse 17. 24th chapter in the book of Numbers, verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. These are the words of Balaam, a self-confessed prophet, who came from the east, far off from Moab. And yet Balaam, the king of Moab, sends, Balak, the king of Moab, sends for Balaam to come and curse the people of God. And the reason why he wanted this man to curse the people was because he had heard how the Lord had brought them out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and how their enemies had been vanquished before them. And Balak was afraid that Moab might be their next target to destroy that nation also. And so he considered that if he could get a prophet to come and curse the people of God, then that fear would be taken away. And so Balaam came. You can read the account in the previous chapters of how Balaam came to Balak, and in the previous chapter we read of how Balaam had prophesied not against the people of God, but rather that the blessing might be upon them. And Balak was evidently disturbed by this. We read in verse 10 that his anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Now what we need to understand is that Balak was a prophet in the true sense of the word, that he prophesied, and yet he was not a prophet of God. Balaam was an ambitious man seeking his own advantage. And this is why he came, because Balak had promised a great increase if he should come. And Balaam came on the pretense that he would speak whatever the Lord put in his mouth. It is a most solemn consideration that this Balaam spake under God's direction. God spake through Balaam, and yet Balaam was never part with God. And it just shows how far we can come, how near we can come without really coming at all. We find in the prophecies that he puts up that unlike the other prophets who spake in the name of the Lord, the word of the Lord came unto me, Balak mentions nothing of the Lord. he speaks through his own pride. But here he has words from God to speak unto Balak and unto the people of Moab. And yet God is not in all his thoughts. So we need to understand right away that Balaam was a prophet, but he was a false prophet. And although God used him, Balaam never humbled himself before Almighty God. And we know the end of Balaam, that he was killed by Israel when they fought against Moab. And so this man's end was a solemn end indeed. And in the words before us, in verse 17, we see how sad and solemn his condition really was. I shall see him, that is, I shall see the Messiah, I will see the great King. I shall see him, but not now. And so his prophecy is for a future period. And he especially delights in the fact that as Balak had shown anger against him, now he could placate himself somewhat by saying that Balak need not fear for the immediate future. It's going to be in a time yet to come. And so that fear could be taken away. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. And the solemn implication of these words that Balaam was given some vision of the coming of the Messiah. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. The only time that Balaam would see the Christ of God was, or will be, upon the day of judgment. He shall not come near him. He's not one who is favoured of God. And so he pronounces a prophecy against himself. How many claim to have had visions and dreams? The Lord has spoken this word to them and that word to them. One of the clearest prophecies in all the Old Testament scriptures concerning the Messiah is found in this verse. And it's very clear. The words that Balaam, under the direction of God, uses, there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. These words could not be clearer. But although Balaam is the one whom God would use to make this great declaration, yet Balaam would not be one to enjoy the coming of the Messiah. Remember how Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Christ, and he saw it and was glad. Balaam could prophesy of the day of Christ, but he could not rejoice in the fact that this Saviour was coming into the world. Job also could say that in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and not another. And again, Job had that glorious hope that when the Messiah would come and deliver his people, that he would be one among the saints in glory. We need to consider then what our state and standing is before Almighty God. Pride can often fill our hearts, and we can think that we know God. And in a sense, Balaam knew God far better than most people that are mentioned in the scriptures. The angel of God met with him on the way and spoke against him. God put many words in Balaam's mouth, and yet Balaam was not a saved character. Balaam will be lost at last. Balaam was an enemy of God. And although God put the words in his mouth, it was Balaam's desire to curse the people, to bring forth murderous thoughts against the Lord's people, that he might gain promotion. His great ambition was to be something, somebody in this world. He wanted to gain the respect of Balak, which before these words he had lost, and he hopes to appease the wrath of Balak against him by speaking of future events. And although those future events that he spoke of were perfectly true, yet nevertheless, Balaam had no heart in them. And it's not the only time in scripture. You can search the scriptures and find other occasions when the Lord spake through ungodly men and yet spake the truth. I suppose the great one we think of is that of Pilate. Pilate, who saw nothing amiss in the Lord Jesus Christ and yet still condemned him to death. So we can come so near and yet in reality be so far. How we need to question again and again our religious status as to where we stand before God. One of the great marks and evidences against Balaam was his pride. Pride fills the hearts of all people. But have we been humbled? Have we been brought into the dust of abasement before Almighty God? Humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. It is in conversion then that spirit of humility to a measure is given unto all God's people. They must know themselves as sinners through and through. They must realize that they can do nothing toward their own salvation. They must be brought low and humbled before God before he lifts them up and reveals his purposes of mercy and favor toward them. And unless we know something of this experience, then we need to question whether we have any right religion at all. Are we one of God's people? Do we not want those evidences that we are one of His? I shall see Him, but not now. I shall behold Him, but not nigh. Some of the most solemn words of any man has spoken against himself. And yet these words are true. And what he goes on to speak is also true, although it comes from the mouth of a false prophet. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheph or Seth. Remember that the Moabites were great enemies of God's people. And the Lord would raise up a king, a mighty king, one David, who would conquer this nation of Moab and bring it under the control of Israel. But we have to remember that David's reign was but for a limited period, and that he achieved success over one or two local nations, but his influence did not go far abroad. And so, although David may be considered here as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is but a type. And we have to see the limitation that is in David and the great fulfillment of these words which will be in the Lord Jesus Christ. A star shall come out of Jacob. The Lord Jesus Christ is called that bright and morning star, the day star. We sang in our previous hymn, day star from on high, draw near. And the Lord Jesus is referred to a star. One might think that he ought to be described as the sun. And in the prophecy of Malachi, of course, he is described as the Son of Righteousness. But I believe we can look at these things concerning Christ's first coming and his second coming. And the morning star is a very apt symbol of the Lord's coming. Darkness, gross darkness, had prevailed over all the earth. And as the prophet goes on to say, gross darkness the people. The people then were in great darkness. But this first morning light, this day star, shining brightly as it did in the sky, was the evidence of the arrival of the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this, no doubt, is somewhat fulfilled in the kings or magi that came from the east. And it seems to tie up with the scriptures that these Balaam had come from the east, and doubtless his prophecy was well known among the generations, not only of Israel, but other eastern nations. Doubtless father spake to his children and to his children's children concerning these things. And especially after David had quelled the wrath of Moab and brought them unto tribute to him, then these words would perhaps be even more graphic unto the people. We saw his star in the east, that bright, shining star, that star, that great luminary that shone above all other stars. It was a particular star. And doubtless these wise men were given to understand the prophecy concerning the Messiah. This prophecy, no doubt, had been told unto them, and they had understood that when that star appeared, then the Christ of God would also appear. And so convinced were they that they took their long journey from the east even unto Jerusalem, stopping off, as you know, at Jerusalem to inquire concerning the coming of Christ. And it would seem how that the Israelites of that day were very ignorant of the Messiah's coming. And yet, Bethlehem was the place which had been prophesied from of old. And when they heard it, they again followed the star until it stopped over the place where Jesus lay. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Christ then is denoted as of the lineage of David. David, of course, of Jacob, of the tribe of Judah, that this great star would arise. And it sets forth the authority, the majesty, the splendor of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would come to reign over his people, to reign over his Israel. And the second illustration, a scepter shall rise out of Israel. The scepter was the instrument of authority. You remember how when Esther came in unto the king, she said, I will go unto the king, and if I perish, I perish. And she came in uncalled for. And the only sentence for that was death, to presume upon the king, unless he held out the golden scepter. And the king held out the golden scepter to Esther and showed his favour toward her. For the scepter is in the hand of our great God and King. It's in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall reign and rule over his kingdom. His kingdom, which in one sense had begun from the very early days, but would be fully manifest in the day of his appearing. The Jews, the Israelites, had long waited for the coming of the Lord. And yet, their religion had grown cold and heartless. Do we not find the same in our day? There's nothing new under the sun, we're told. The Lord is coming again. Is the church watching and waiting for his appearing? And I feel for the most part that the church has grown cold and careless, considering the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it is spoken to the seven churches in Asia Minor. That this vision that he had, verse 16 we read, he has said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. How the man spoke with great authority. After all, these were not his words, they were the words of God. And they were the words of God, really, firstly to Israel, and then to Israel's enemies. Because we go on to read, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. By the corners of Moab, it means all the borders and all that is within those borders. So there will be a destruction of the whole of Moab. And he would destroy all the children of Seth. Now, this represents the enemies of God, the enemies of the church. These shall be destroyed. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empires be. And what great encouragement this is for us to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is yet upon the throne, that he reigns, and the scepter can often be considered as a rod. He rules with a rod of iron. The psalmist says, the Lord shall laugh, he shall have them in derision. Then this prophecy, although in one sense has been fulfilled, when the Lord Jesus Christ did come as the brighter morning star, but also it can be seen as yet unfulfilled, for the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. And when he comes again, he will gather his people unto himself, but he will smite all the kingdoms of this earth. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun his brightest beams array. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. These prophecies then were given throughout the Old Testament scriptures, and it may be that the Lord will direct us to other ones in due season. Nevertheless, how do these things affect us? Is this prophecy now redundant because it has in the first sense been fulfilled? Not at all. We look back upon the coming of the Messiah. we look back upon the time when the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon the face of this earth. And he walked in humility. He came to fulfill the law of God and to overcome the devil and all his works, sin and a wicked world. And though he fell, yet he triumphed in that fall, and he conquered sin and death and hell. He gained a mighty victory over all his enemies. And he waits until all his enemies shall be made his footstool. The star. As we look into the sky, we sometimes see a bright star. How a delightful view it is. What it sets forth. The glorious reign of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But the great thing is not that he reigns, because that is a fact which is clearly shown unto us, that he reigns over heaven and earth. His kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. The great question then is, does he reign in our hearts? Do we acknowledge him to be our king? That he has lordship over us? And we can say these things, but it is in the performance of him that the reality shows forth. There are many people that can speak great swelling words, speak of their accomplishments, speak of their knowledge. And there are many professors, we've met some of them, who understand the Greek and the Hebrew, who can speak of the scriptures and give intelligent answers to many of the questions that are there. But it is evident that Christ does not dwell in their hearts. And if Christ does not dwell in our hearts, then he does not dwell in us at all. And we are not his and he is not ours. And our names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. It is in the last chapter of the Bible that we read concerning him. That he is that son of righteousness. He is that one who should come. And they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign for ever and ever. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. we mentioned to you before the difference between the names of Jacob and Israel. You remember that Jacob set forth the man as one who knew not God. Jacob, the name really means a supplanter. He was, in that sense, a sinful man. He took what was not rightfully his. But he was one of the Lord's people. From all eternity, he was chosen to be God's servant. And when the Lord appeared and converted the man, then it could be said of him that he was Israel. And Israel sets forth a prince with God. So what do these words mean to us in this context? There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. In the Lord's dealings with his people, it is to bring them to that position of humility as they acknowledge that they are sinners in the sight of God. And they begin to see that there is one thing needful. They begin to see that there is one above all others. That this is a bright and morning star. And that star begins to shine. And begins to shine into their hearts to give them a knowledge of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord's dealings with them bring them from being a Jacob to making them an Israel. And you'll see that a scepter shall rise out of Israel. When we acknowledge Christ not only to be a king, but to be our king. Our king, our Lord, and our all. That we bow before his sovereign will. That he holds the scepter. He is the king of his kingdom. And when we come to acknowledge that we are citizens of his kingdom, then his rule over us shall be complete. Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Lord, make me submissive to thy will. Bring me low and keep me low. Help me to acknowledge thee to be my sovereign Lord and all, and that I may be willing in the day of thy power not only to forsake all, but willing also to obey all thy commands, to keep thy law as much as lieth within me. Oh, how great a prophecy this is. How it stands forth in the scriptures. As I began by saying, one of the clearest prophecies of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we see in it his coming to us. May we look for this bright morning star. A star shall arise out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. That is, that Christ reigning in our hearts shall smite all our enemies, and we, through his grace, shall overcome at last. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. Let none of us be found in Balaam's position, who shall see him, but only as a God of judgment. May we come to see the star out of Jacob and the scepter rise out of Israel. And the Lord God omnipotent reign, not only on the earth, but also in our hearts, that we may be made willing in the day of his power, I say, to forsake all, that we may follow him. The Lord add his blessing. Amen.